Today is a day where a lot of people honor their fathers. And I've gotten several texts already from my children wishing me a happy Father's Day. Being a father is a special privilege. It really is a very important thing to be a good father. And I've had several good fathers. And my father was a good man, and a man who did a lot of things for me, but the most important thing that he did was he sat next to me in church. And I don't have a memory of him not being there. Only time he ever missed church was when he sat with my invalid grandfather while my grandmother got to go to church. Good father is a good thing to have. And we have the greatest Father of all in our Heavenly Father, whom we are here today to honor as we do each Sunday, to worship and honor Him. We've been talking in the last month or so about the local church, about what the local church is supposed to be doing and what it is. And I've made the observation, today I want to talk about the fact that the church is supposed to be the pillar of the truth. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But we've been saying that the church is Christ's church. It's His church. And everything that we do in the church is because of Him. It's because it is His body, and we are here as members of His body to serve His purposes, His plan, His goals. And we talked about the fact that there are these local congregations throughout the New Testament, local groups of Christians who meet together, and they have certain responsibilities. They assemble, they worship together, they work together, and they look out for each other. And these are the things that we're to be doing. We are, on a local level, fulfilling the purpose of the body of Jesus Christ. I can't assemble with all of my brothers and sisters everywhere, but I can with those who are right here. And I can't really do much with those brothers and sisters everywhere, but I can do a lot with the ones who are right here. And we've talked about, last week we talked about the unified spirit that the church is to have, the body of Christians who worship together. And we've talked about the various roles that we are to play in the church. And each one of us should use whatever skills or capacity that we have to be in the service of God to each other. Today I want to talk about this idea of the church being the pillar of the truth. And it comes from this passage in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul writes to Timothy, and it's true, it's Paul's letter to Timothy to encourage him as an evangelist to do his work. But an evangelist works with a congregation, in a congregation. He works as part of a congregation. And that's certainly the case with Paul's letter to Timothy. Much of what Paul says to Timothy about what he's to be doing has to do with the church. And the church, in that case, is the church in Ephesus where Timothy was preaching. And Paul writes to Timothy, and he says in verse 14 of chapter 3, "Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these things so that if I am delayed, you will know how each one," not just Timothy, "how each one must conduct himself in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth." And in that context, Paul had been talking about the elders and the deacons. But a little earlier, he talks about women and men and all the men. And so it's not just Timothy the evangelist. It's not just the elders. It's not just the deacons. It's all of us. Each one of us is to play a part in the Lord's church. And in this case, it's this congregation. When you say, I went to eat at McDonald's, you didn't go to the worldwide corporation. You went to a local franchise. That's where you went. And when it comes to the Lord's church, where the rubber meets the road is here. Each one must conduct himself in God's household. And when Paul writes to Timothy and to, by extrapolation, all of the people that Timothy happened to be working with at that time, when he writes to them and talks about how each one must behave himself in the household of God in the church, he's talking about that local congregation. And the only way we can apply Paul's instructions from Timothy is in this congregation. Each one of us must conduct ourselves in a certain way in God's household, which is the church of the living God. The pillar and foundation of the truth. Each one of us must conduct himself in this household as part of the grander, greater household of God. But this household, which is the church of the living God. And that's an amazing responsibility, isn't it? The word church is assembly. This is the assembly of the living God. And you're part of it. And as part of it, you're part of the pillar and foundation of the truth. Well, that's a tremendous responsibility right there. And to understand the metaphor, what does a pillar do? A pillar holds something up. It's something that rests on it, right? In the construction process of buildings in the ancient world, you know, you'd have pillars that would hold up the roof beams, the joists that would hold the roof. The foundation would hold up everything. And so, being a pillar or being a foundation is something that other things rest on. And it holds it up. It holds it up, supports it, keeps it from falling. And for us, it's the truth that we are to hold up. We are to support the truth. And it's one thing to say, well, the church should hold up the truth. And the church is some nebulous body of institution somewhere over there. That's the church over there. Those people are the church. Well, we're the church. We're certainly the church in this place. We uphold the truth. Supposed to support the truth. And when I say we, I don't mean me. I mean you and me and all of us together. And that's a tremendous responsibility, isn't it? The local church is supposed to teach the truth and practice the truth and uphold the truth and represent the truth and defend the truth. And of course, the truth is God's truth. It's not my truth. It's not your truth. It's God's truth. And our responsibility is to hold up. We don't generate it. We don't create the truth. We don't decide what the truth is. We uphold it. We take the truth that God gives us, the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of salvation in Christ, and we hold it up and we support it. You see those? You ever see those people who make those human pyramids? And man, I always feel sorry for the guys on the bottom. Man, they're holding everything else up, aren't they? They're the unsung heroes of the human pyramid. Well, we're to hold up the truth. Hold it up. Not let it down. Not drop it. Certainly not try to change it or determine what it is in terms of deciding or legislating what it is. To take God's truth as it is and hold it up. That's our job. John 4, verse 23. Jesus, in talking to the woman at the well in Samaria, he says, "The hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him." You know, part of what the church does, obviously, is worship. We've done it here today. We've been worshiping. But we have an obligation. When we open these doors and we invite the public, we invite the world, and we say, "Come worship with us," we have an obligation as the Church of the Living God to worship in truth. And that means we don't decide how we're going to worship. We don't make up our worship. We don't create the conditions or terms of our worship. We worship the way that the Lord instructs because it's the truth. There is truth and falsehood in worship. And if you want to know why we worship the way that we worship the way that we do because it's the truth. It's according to the truth. And it's important that it be according to the truth. Because the church is supposed to be the supporter and foundation and pillar of truth. And when we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and when we pray, and when we take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, and when we take up these funds on the first day of the week, and when we preach these sermons here, study the Bible here, when we do these things, we do them very specifically because that's what the Scriptures teach us to do, because it's the truth. It's true worship. It's our obligation to be true worshipers. And you're part of that. That's what you're supporting. That's what we're all supporting. Worshipping the Father in spirit and truth. To worship Him with zeal and devotion, with a heart full of joy and love and the grace of God and in truth. That's important. That's part of what we're obligated to do. Let's look at this passage. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, here Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's mostly talking about himself, or perhaps from the standpoint of the apostles, but what he says about himself and what he's trying to do should be true for all of us. He says, "Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God." And it's very important that we don't distort the word of God. Because that's part of what it means to be a pillar in support of the truth. You don't change it. You don't distort it. You don't alter it. You don't play fast and loose with it. And so what you do is you speak the truth plainly. Don't get mealy-mouthed and wishy-washy and try to soft-sell something or ignore something or say something like, "Well, that's not my area," or "That's not so popular. We don't say those things anymore." What we are to say is the truth plainly. That is our obligation. And the truth can be hard. And can be taken as harsh. And the truth can be challenging and unwelcome. The truth can create problems for people who don't want to accept truth. But our job as the Church of the Living God is not to give in to the temptation of distorting the Word of God in order to avoid those challenges. Our job is to uphold the truth. And to hold it up plainly and clearly and say, "This is the truth." 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Again, writing to Timothy, Paul says, do your best. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Now, that encouragement, that exhortation, is directed primarily to Timothy as an evangelist, and so its most direct application would be to me as an evangelist, or to any Bible class teacher, or any man who stands before the congregation and teaches a lesson. But first and foremost, it's to me. You know, my responsibility is not just to generate some kind of lesson that's appealing or attractive or goes down well or is interesting. It's to teach the truth. And so to teach the truth, I have to examine the scriptures. I have to take those scriptures. And I have to do the best I can to handle those scriptures accurately, honestly, and then to present them. Because it's not just for my own edification that I study the scriptures. They're to present. They're to present to you. To handle correctly the word of truth. Now, does that mean you have no responsibility in this regard? Absolutely not. As Paul himself goes on to say, when talking about correctly handling the truth, in chapter 4 and verse 3, he says to Timothy, he says, now the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Now that is failing to uphold the truth. That's dropping the truth. That's letting the truth fall. Your responsibility, you know, my responsibility is to handle the Word of God accurately and to speak the truth plainly. Your responsibility is to hear it, listen to it, absorb it, accept it, practice it, and pass it on. Because if you do this, you fail. You fail in your obligation as the church of the living God, as the church of Jesus Christ, to uphold the truth. And so many have. We cannot let that happen. Paul goes on to say in verse 4, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And that is what you cannot let happen. Error nearly always comes from teachers. Nearly always. It comes from teachers. But the teachers are not the only ones who are responsible. The preachers are not the only ones who turn away from the truth and begin to deny the truth. They're not the ones who are really primarily even responsible. It's the people in the congregation who put up with that, who go on with that, who accept that, who even promote that. Because you see, the temptation on the part of the speaker is always to hear what it is that people object to or don't like and to try to shift or change what they're teaching to suit the listener. You have a tremendous responsibility in this exchange that we go through with week in and week out. Your responsibility is to search the Scriptures, just as it's my responsibility to search the Scriptures, to see whether these things are so, like the noble Bereans. You need to be engaged in this process. That's how the truth gets held up by all of us together. James 5, verses 19 and 20. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings a sinner back from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. You see, there's always going to be people in the congregation who are going to have a hard time with some aspect of the truth, and it's going to challenge them in some way they don't like, and they're going to try to slip away from that. And we have a responsibility as pillars and foundation for the truth, and that's a personal responsibility. It's an individual responsibility to go and try to help a brother or sister who's having a problem upholding the truth and sticking with it. We have a job to do in that regard. And if we don't do that, then we fail in our obligation to each other. We need to bring people back as best we can. We can't guarantee that we can, and often we will fail to do that. But it should not be from want of trying. 2 John 1 and verse 4. John says, "It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us." You know, John comes and he visits a congregation, or he gets a message from a congregation, and he finds out what? That they're teaching the truth? Yes, that's good. And a lot of these epistles by John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, is really about false teaching and about the fact that it's crept into the church. And that's largely what John is talking about when he says, "It brings joy to me that I find that you're walking according to the truth." But walking also is an ongoing active verb, isn't it? You know, it's not just that you've got the right tracts in the vestibule, you know. It's about the way you live your life. It's not enough to know the truth. It's not enough to even just declare the truth. You got to live the truth. And that's part of what we do to be a pillar and foundation of the truth. Live it. Act according to the truth. He goes on to say in 3 John, in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 4, he says, "It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it." It's very important, isn't it? And then in verse 8, he says, "Therefore we ought to support people like these that we may be fellow workers for the truth." And I'll tell you something. In supporting me and other evangelists and ascertaining that what they're teaching is the truth, you're supporting that truth. And that's exactly what you need to be doing. Now, brethren, the truth is something that we must always give attention to. We can't ever stop thinking about it. Every week when I prepare these lessons, the first and foremost question that I have in my mind is this true? Is what does the Word of God say? Now, I try to make it interesting, I try to illustrate, I try to explain and break it down, but it's always at its most basic fundamental level, is this true? And that's what I want to hold up. And that's what this congregation always has to be thinking about. Are we teaching the truth? Are we practicing the truth? Are we upholding the truth? Are we representing the truth? That is key. So, in conclusion, brethren, the church is supposed to be the pillar of the truth. Hold it up, support it, and show it to the world. The church is us. The church is you. Are you upholding the truth? Are you supporting the truth? God's truth. The truth of the Scriptures. Are you representing it? Are you living it? Are you walking it? Because that is what we're here for. And if you want to be part of that effort, that endeavor, then obey the truth. Declare your faith in Jesus Christ. Turn away from sin. Confess His name. Be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. And become part of the body of Jesus Christ that upholds the truth. If you want to do that this morning, come forward and say you will as we stand and sing.